Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand from the Star Market Broadcast Studio at TD Garden. There's a playoff game in this building tonight, so can you feel it?
Not yet.
The buzz?
No.
No?
Not yet. Where's the balloons?
I know. I don't see any of that. I don't see any of that pomp and circumstance yet.
I guess act like you've been there, right?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe that's why this year's different.
And Billy Jaffe is with us. Hello, Billy.
Gentlemen.
How you doing?
You?
Get your hockey hat on again.
Yeah, like that, huh?
I'm great. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm great.
Ready to go tonight?
Ready to go.
Ready? You feeling it?
I am feeling it. I am. I'm feeling that there's some palpable excitement, a little tension, a little uncertainty, a little, you know, everything in the air. And you know what that's called? It's called playoffs. It's called playoffs.
Billy, how worried should we be about how the Bruins wrapped up the regular season and how much of that carries over into tonight, into this series?
I'd like to think not at all. I'd like to think not at all. So I'm going in with it not at all. Because if, and I was just over at Warrior with talking to all the guys about that, and they all seem to be, you know, that's, it's not that they poo-poo that by any stretch. They, okay, that was then. They're fine. They're in a different place. They're a couple of days off. They feel ready. If that translates, that bad two-week stretch, we'll call it, translates into their demise, they've got other issues. You know what I
yeah.
mean? You know, I think that this is – you're talking an 82-game season where how can we – you know, when they went, what was it, 30-something games with two or three losses, how do we forget about that when they have, you know, 1 week where they go 1-3-1 or a week and a half? I mean, you know, let's not discount that. So
yeah.
The players all feel like they're in a great spot. They feel rested. It was interesting. I asked a couple of them. I said, would you have liked a little bit more time off given how much you had played and how you guys were in a little bit of a funk? And they all said, no, this was the right amount of time off. One full, you know, a full day off,
yeah.
A good skate on Tuesday, a lighter skate Wednesday. Half the team didn't go out today. They're excited. They're ready. They all feel that any more than this, 5 days in between games would be too much.
Impact of both Nashes, having Rick Nash back, not having Riley Nash. In this series, the way he matches up against Toronto.
I think in any series, the impact of both Nashes is can be forceful. I'm very curious to see what Rick Nash does right away. I literally saw him quickly on the way out of to run down here to the Garden. And he was, you know, I said, hey, man, good to have you back. Nice to see you. And he says, great to be back. It is great to be back. He's excited as all hell to get back going, and he's ready to. Rick Nash, he can be an impactful player. He doesn't have to carry the team, though. He does not have to carry. He has to be
present.
Present all time when he's out there. Riley Nash not having him, I'm bummed about that. I'm bummed. That's a you see teams that make good runs in the playoffs, in the NHL
mm-hmm.
playoffs.
Yeah.
And what do they have always? What's the common denominator? A really good third line. Really good third line. And I'm bummed because he played a beautiful, beautiful season. And let's hope, I don't know. I don't know if he'll be back next game, but let's hope for sure by game three. Let's hope.
I just don't know how you have no concerns about the team right now.
Here's the thing.
I
have questions
about it carrying over.
I mean, it because it's
new.
It's done. This is new. That's one season. This is another.
I know it's new, but I mean, that's just a line we all draw, and I know that they're drawing it too.
Man.
But that was just 4 days ago that we saw them.
But that was four. Okay,
really stumbled to the finish line. And you know what, Billy? I said this as I watched that game on Sunday. I thought, you know what? This has been a ridiculous schedule that they've played,
yeah.
And it's catching up with them
you know
at the end. And physically, I thought these guys are just at a point where they need the rest. They need the break. Mm-hmm. They do. They need it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear Bruce Cassidy after the game say, hey, every team has the physical stuff.
Yeah.
You know, every team gets worn down. I'm worried more about mentally where we're at and our passion. And that, to me,
The passion one was on
alert.
That's
not something we've ever questioned this team. This year, this team has had plenty of passion,
okay,
plenty of mental toughness. And now when you're head coach, I hope is the case.
Yeah.
I hope that he's just
pushing
a button.
Yeah.
Pushing a button and trying to kind of goose him, if you will.
I think he was in the moment doing some of that. And I think that I know Bruce is an incredibly intense individual. And I think he was probably disappointed at the moment that the team... By the way, they had a fantastic third period. It was just too late. So, I mean, throw that third period. You know, the third period was great, but it's too late. But I think he saw that his team still had it in them at that point. Why the hell didn't they do that earlier? I think that that's part... And I don't mean coach speak as in BS coach speak. I think it's legit coach speak there, Beetle. But I don't think he's saying my team is mentally weak heading into the playoffs. I don't think he's saying that. I don't. I think he, at that moment, he wished that he...
No, he didn't say it like that. He just thought that they were dealing with... It was more of a mental thing for them and not a physical thing. And
so at that time...
I think that's worse, is what I think.
But at that time, that's when you need a mental break.
He's almost putting him on notice, too. It's like a kick in the ass to him.
Fine.
Hey, guys, like, we do this, we're in trouble.
Look, okay, here's your obvious comment of the afternoon. Who the hell knows what's going to happen at 7:08 tonight or 7:10, I think, is
fake. I think we need two games in series to him ask that question. Like, how do you feel about this team? Because, like, you know, you come out flying like gangbusters these next 2 days. I think we're going to be feeling pretty good about the Bruins.
If I look at the depth of their season, if I do a deep dive into it,
you know what they are.
I've felt a lot better about this team for a lot more of this season than I felt bad about this team. I didn't feel great. I felt good about them to begin. Then they hit a hiccup, and then I didn't feel good.
Hiccup? You didn't want to come in.
And then all of a sudden, mid November, I start to feel better.
Yeah.
And then from mid November until mid late March,
mm-hmm.
I felt actually surprised, happy, ecstatic, and unbelievable about this team. And then, sure, do I have some questions, Beetle? Yes. Concerns? You know what? Tomorrow I'll call in if they lay an egg, and I'll tell you if I got more concerns. Right now, I have a few questions. Yes, I do.
Well, let's get to more of those questions. Slow these calls.
We got a lot of things to get to in this hour. A lot of topics. I want to talk about Toronto and how tough of a matchup they're going to be for this Bruins team.
Good matchup.
Here in the opening round. It starts tonight at the Garden. We got Jaffe here. We got open lines for you, 617-779-0985.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day with Solak and Bertrand.
From the Star Market Broadcast Studio
on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
+1220 here from the Star Market Broadcast Studio at the Garden. Billy Jaffe of Nesson.
You know what I like today? You know what I like today? Response from our callers.
It's been a good day on the phone.
Response. People into it. Whether we're talking Sox coming out of the gate, did some Brady stuff there. And now talking hockey, getting ready for Toronto tonight. People are hot. They're listening.
Hockey.
Hot. As Rob would say from the Cliff and Rob Coffee Shop, a hot and happening tune tonight.
Big day in Boston. I mean, this is the best time of year, and I love the football season, but I'm telling you, when you get all the playoffs going, spring is finally coming out, baseball's going, hockey, basketball, everything. This is, for you guys in particular, this is a mega time.
You mentioned third line, the importance of a third line on a playoff team.
Yeah.
By the way, the top three lines for Toronto.
Good.
Yeah, that's a lot of scoring on all three lines, huh?
Yeah, there are. You know, Bruins have 330 goal scorers. Toronto has three, but they're all in one line. Toronto has 330 goal scorers throughout their lineup, through their top three lines.
Kind of spread out.
They spread it out there. You know, and they get some guys, though, that score on the power play, too. A guy like Van Riemsdyk, who had one of those 330-goal guys, had a nice amount on the power play, as did Nazem Kadri, too. To be exact, I can tell you, Kadri had 12 on the power play, and Van Riemsdyk had 11. And that's not to
What's their power play at, 45%?
Recently, it's been 40%, I think, recently. Okay. It's been on fire. I mean, you've got two of the best power plays in the National Hockey League coming up. The Leafs have had a power play goal in five straight games. I mean, they haven't gone two in a row, it looks like, since mid-late March without having a power play goal. I mean, they're on fire, their power play. You know, the reason they're on fire is their second unit, the Austin Matthews unit, is scoring now on the power play the last about six games or so. And so they're going to – Beetle, there's no way around it. This is a brutally tough matchup, just like Tampa's going to be if anybody gets there. I mean, this is tough.
Yeah, I would have rather had New Jersey. But just to follow up on this, the third line,
I think
is because if there's a spot for Ryan Donato in this series, that's where we assume it's going to be.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Tell us why.
Well, let's see. I mean, okay. Let's see where Rick Nash is in his game. All right. Let's see how he responds. How's he going to respond?
That's a good point.
Oh, but that's an injury thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
No, it's not. Let's see how he's playing.
You think Rick Nash could end up being a healthy scratch in one of these games?
If he's not moving...
If he doesn't feel good.
If he's not playing well, it's not an injury thing, Beto. It doesn't matter. Well,
sort of. It's the guy's coming back from a concussion.
Yeah.
And if he's still dealing with symptoms of it and has to take a seat, but then that's an injury.
All right, but you're saying if there's a spot for him, how about... Wait a second here. Let's see how Danton Heinen, who's also a rookie. Let's see how Jake DeBrusque, also a rookie. Let's see how they play. What if all of a sudden they don't respond, and then all of a sudden maybe you've got a bit of a three-man rotation there with those guys where Donato can get
in. I think it comes down to Heinen versus Donato for a lot of this.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it could. I mean, yeah. I mean, you want to play that game, it could. But all these things are real. How about the fact, let's see how Nola Chari plays in this third-line spot. And let's see.
Third line.
Right, but let's see how he plays there, and and Corrales also coming back from injury. Let's see how he plays. You may have a lot of massaging going on, or maneuvering going on. What's going to happen after game one? We all know this. It doesn't mean what happens in game one is usually not what happens.
But you think
the rest
it's the right call not to play Donato?
To start with, I'm fine with it. Yeah, you have to look. You need to understand. You got Nola Chari.
I think fans are shocked. I mean, you understand. The initial reaction of him not being in the mix, people are, there's a lot of excitement with the kid. That's all.
I don't disagree, and I'm thrilled that he played as well as he has, and I'm also expecting him to get into the lineup.
For 12 games.
It's 12 games, and it's 12 different type of games than he did in the playoffs, what the playoffs would be.
Plus, you go back and study a little bit, take some more stuff. I'll tell you what, I went to UMass last week. I ate the dining hall.
Going back to school.
Dining halls are nice now at campuses, man. I'm sure
dining halls are very nice now. You'd be battling your weight.
No, not at UMass. They got gluten-free stuff, bars. It's gorgeous.
Well, listen, I think in this game, there's a lot that went into the process, the thought, not just, Ryan's a rookie. What else? You got to say, all right, what does Rick Nash do? Also, I think you need to have Wingles in the lineup because what if Corrali doesn't play as well coming back from injury? He's a center. Wingles can play center. What if Nola Chari isn't as good? Then you still have Wingles. My point is...
Well, you don't really want to disrupt your fourth line if you don't have to.
If you don't have to, but... You have, in a way, in the sense you've slid Wingles in there, but instead of having Achari be your normal right winger, that's your norm. Corrali, Achari, and Schaller is your normal fourth line. I think they had to take a lot of this into consideration. And in this game, by the way, where do you put, if you're going to say, we need to put Donato into the lineup.
You're not going to play him on the fourth line.
And you're not going to put him on right wing either. Despite the fact that he played a little bit of right wing a couple of games, he's got to play left wing. That's what I think to be successful.
Third line.
We'll see.
I have a question. That's a spot if needed.
If possible.
Yeah.
Who do I hate from Toronto? I need to hate watch.
You need to hate watch?
You know what I'm talking about? Vancouver, Sedin, Pudd sisters? Pacioretty?
You got three guys, I think. Three guys.
Burrows. Give me who?
Burrows, you hate it, right?
Okay, yep.
Nazem Kadri.
Yep.
Who has really become a hell of a player. He's a good player, but he can get under your skin.
The guy who gets under your skin.
He gets under your skin. The other guy would be Leo Komarov. Okay. Leo Komarov on the fourth line. They call him Uncle Leo in Toronto because he's the old guy on the team there.
Uncle A?
Keep an eye on Leo Komarov. He wears his shield tilted up.
Fisk could go right under.
He's one of those guys that just yaps an awful lot. Good tradition of fourth line. He's played second line, too, but he's a fourth liner.
Yeah, and him and
right
Marchand
now.
Have a thing.
They have a thing.
Good.
They have a thing.
Marchand kissed him. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that long ago.
Nope. So, Leo Komarov.
This year.
You could hate Plakanets. He's not hateable, but much. But you can hate him because he's the annoyance factor if he plays well against Krejci.
Such a great thing. Gave the man a kiss. Come here.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Maple Leafs Bruins begins tonight at the Garden, and we go to the phones. 617-779-0985. Frank is in the car. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you doing, Beetle?
What's up?
My thought is, and I want to get Jaffe's opinion, but to me, the injuries that people are actually coming back affected the Bruins down the stretch the last five games. You got Chara, who, as you all know, as you get older, it takes longer to get over injuries. And McAvoy looked like crap for at least a couple games. That's 33% of your D that affects all lines. And then you had Nash, who affected the third line. And you have Rick Nash, who affected the first line. So now you only have your second line, and then the top D for the other teams was going against the second line. Therefore, five games of struggling. So it's actually struggling because people are coming back. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
There's definitely a you take that into consideration, you know?
I think defensively especially, I don't think Chara got back to 100%.
He didn't.
I don't think McAvoy got back to 100%.
No, but McAvoy was very close to him, his game the last two. The last two, he was very close.
I'm just saying that 3 days off for those two guys is going to benefit them in a big way.
Well, and more than that, two hard practices. You know, after they played some games and two in a row, where I thought Charlie was better, Z took a little longer, no doubt about it.
You talking about the last couple of days?
Well, no, I was talking about, like, I thought Charlie in the Saturday game in particular against Ottawa started skating the way that Charlie can. We know. The way that he was controlling pucks. He's got this beautiful elusiveness to his game. For a big man, he's not, I know he's not, Charlie isn't Chara huge, but he's a thick guy and he skates. And I always marvel at how elusive he can be at times. And I felt like I started seeing more of that. I do think that Chara definitely could benefit. You know, he needed the games, but he also needed to really get hard skating in. In the last 2 days, he's done that. I don't disagree with Frank at all that sometimes you bring guys back and you also have the high expectations immediately.
Is this German or Jermaine in Lowell?
Hey, what's going on, boys? How are we doing?
Hey, hi. How are you doing?
So teams that are fast have always given the Bruins a hard time. We think back at the early 2000s, mid-2000s against the Canadiens. Toronto has the upper hand when it comes to speed. Toronto has the upper hand with two deadly power play units. And not to mention, Freddie Anderson has owned the Bruins. So, Jaffe, convince me that the Bruins can win this series. How do they win this series?
I don't need to convince you either. I mean, if you're saying that they're going to lose, then they're going to lose in your head. I mean, how am I going to – they played them well during the regular season. They were a crappy goaltender interference call away from having another game in a month ago or so in Toronto. I mean, if here's the thing. People out there, the sky is falling. I don't have any clue if the Bruins are going to win. I'm picking them to win.
Six or seven.
I'm picking –
Bees in seven.
I had to do it. Meaning I had to do it for the NHL Network. I filled it out, and I picked the Bees. I actually picked the Bees in seven. But if people out there are thinking they're going to lose because Toronto's good, damn right Toronto's good. You got three best teams in the East coming out of the Atlantic.
Billy Jaffe has spoken. Damn right Toronto is good.
That's right.
617-779.
But I think the Bruins are good, too.
Your logo's a leaf.
More from the Star Market broadcast.
Isn't that legal now?
We'll go to your phones. Billy Jaffe is with us at our Star Market broadcast studio. Yes, Billy.
Can I point one thing out?
Absolutely.
A couple of things out.
Of course.
German or Jermaine was the one that just called.
Yeah.
Before. You know, they have two great power players. I'm just using some things, too. The Bruins have the fourth best power play in the NHL. Toronto has the second. They're percentage points apart. Boston, though, has the fourth best penalty kill. Toronto is tied for 10th. So that's pretty good. Boston, just like Toronto, has 330 goal scorers. Pretty good. No doubt Freddie Anderson has done very well against the Boston Bruins in his career. 10-1-0. And one of those losses, though, came this year. I look, they're a good team. But if you want to break down stats and everything, this isn't all about, as David Backus told me this morning, it's not about stats. It's a lot more than that. On paper, they look really good. On paper, we look really good, too. We play a little different style than they do. We got to make sure that we will our style onto them. They cannot mess around with the pucks at the blue line.
Let's go to Steve, who's in Draken. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing? The kid German that just called in.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine. So listen to him. I tell all the Bruins fans tonight, get your rags out, baby. Get loud, and let's go Bruins. It's freaking Tuca time!
Go home? You heard it. Get the rags out. Got a lot of boxes over there by the entryway.
Maz?
Here.
Is that Maz? You sure that wasn't Maz?
Some rally towels in there.
Get your rags out.
Dennis and Whitman.
Get
Dennis.
Your rag out, Jim.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's up, Zo?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? Jeffy, I'm a big fan, brother. Just had a quick question. You know, with the way that Tukes looked at the end of the season and the history of his performance in the playoffs, do you think that it's beyond Cassidy to maybe if he doesn't come out hot right out the gate, we have a lackluster first or second,
here
we go. A couple easy goals, that
Billy,
Hudobin makes
what do you
a
think,
start?
Billy?
It's already started.
What do you think, Bill?
When does Hudobin get a start?
16-7-2 with a 2.14. 925 save percentage. Tukarask.
You just went back to the stats.
I'm just looking for the with his history in the
you
play.
You can't tell us. You can't say throw out the stats. You can't say you can't get too caught up in stats
what I'm trying,
and then give us stats is the rationale.
I don't. If Tuka lets in five goals and he's awful, maybe.
I think it would take something dramatic. I think it would take something dramatic for that to happen.
In game after game one, yeah, I agree. How quick? I'll tell you what, Bruce Cassidy is not going to hesitate if he feels that the team needs a change in some way. He will not. I was just talking to him before I came here. He would not hesitate. But to sit here and tell you that he's ready to put Anton in over Tuca, no, that's not going to happen right away. Is there a guy in Boston sports that is more polarizing than Tuukka Rask?
No,
David Price.
I was going to ask you.
He's not polarizing. Pretty much, he's got, you know, 10% who don't care, 10% who are in his corner, and 80% who are think he's, you know, what he is. I wouldn't say polarizing. Tuukka is polarizing.
Yeah,
the perception. There is a hard split there.
Yeah, yes.
People that are pro Tuukka, you know, people that are against Tuukka. Yeah, I would say so.
You guys know better than me.
No, I mean, hey, Tom, you're back here in studio. If you could take that it's Tuukka time thing and pair that up with it's howdy doody time for the end of the show, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
John is in Brighton, and he says he has a story about playing hockey with Billy Jaffe.
Hey, boys.
Let's hear it.
Hey, story time.
Love you.
What's up?
Joe, love you. Hey, yeah.
I love you.
We got a chance to play a couple summers ago out in Babson, and I was the big defenseman that kept looking at all the young kids out on the ice. You know, saying, hey, when the voice of the Boston Bruins is cutting across the blue line, you got to headman the puck. But no one was headman in the puck that night. But, Billy, I enjoyed playing with you. Love you on Nesson. And I really wish Ryan Donato would get a shake. I was a classmate of Teddy's over at Catherine Memorial's dad.
He will, John. He will. He'll get it. He'll get in. He's going to get a shake. They love him. This is, you know, this is not the first time that a young guy coming up, John, they got to find more goes into it. And I don't know if you heard about a half an hour ago when I sat down with when Beadle and I were talking about it. It's, you know, they have some questions about some guys that are coming back and fitting in, and they kind of feel like I think they got to, you know, cover themselves a bit with certain positions. And they love Ryan and they expect him to get into the lineup. So I think it's all good. And yeah, if I remember correctly, those guys didn't headman the puck.
Mark is in Medford. Mark.
Mark.
What's up there, Billy? Hey, Beetle.
Where's Mark?
Hey, Zoll.
Not there.
Hey, Hottie.
It's not there.
It's Tuukka time!
Aaron's in Plymouth. Aaron. Jesus.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First-time caller.
What's up?
I just kind of want to – I'd hate to beat the dead horse, but
beat it.
The Donato thing I think is more of a checkers move, really. Like, when you think about it, you play Heinen or Wingles against more hard-body Toronto – and then you got the Lightning coming up next, and then further down the line, maybe even the Penguins or the Caps. So you need some fresh goal-scoring legs. Might as well just sit Donato for that first round, let him get him a couple looks, and then send him in hot when we need his legs, you know?
I'm not going to put it past him to put him in this series. I mean, you know, this is...
Oh, yeah, I think he'll definitely get a couple looks.
I mean, this is just one game right now, just one game. And that's it. And the problem is you can't how do I say this? You have to just literally take a series. You know, the series grows and you can break it down and things develop as the series goes on. But for now, let's not look past this one game tonight, because that's all it is now. Tonight is one game, and let's see what happens. Let's not get ahead of ourselves that A, they're either going to win, or B, they're going to lose because of this one move. Let's see what happens, and then we'll break it down and we'll talk about it more.
More with Billy Jaffe is on the way, and we have Mark in Medford back on the line as well.
Nice.
We'll get back to your calls next. Go right back to your phones. Getting ready for a game tonight at the Garden, playoff hockey. Mark in Medford, try that again. Go ahead.
Okay,
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Oh, beautiful. Hey, Billy, before I get to my questions, right, did you guys happen to see the Snoop Dogg take on the Stanley Cup and the playoffs?
No, I didn't yet. No.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty funny. You should Google it. You'll get a good laugh out of it.
I will.
Okay, I agree with you guys 100% that the last month of the season really kicked the crap out of this team. But do you also think a lot of it is maybe teammates watching teammates going down like flies and getting a little hesitant about getting hurt themselves and not being able to help their team out in the playoffs?
No, I don't think, you know, you can't play like that and
scared.
You can't play cautious.
Really, as a player, though, that's in the back of your mind, though, isn't it? Like, holy crap, who's next?
You know what I mean? No, I think, in fact, if anything, it's holy crap, I got a chance to step up here. And if I can help out, true. I can help myself.
Well, and another thing, too, ain't nothing like hockey in the springtime. Bruins in six, baby. Woo!
Yes, I agree with you. It's the air feels a little crisper.
Spring? When is that happening?
You see the
we're going right this summer.
See the readjustment in temperatures?
Have you guys gotten any allergy stuff the last couple of days?
Oh, my God.
We were just talking about this yesterday.
Well, so there you go.
I can't open my eyes
then.
Today. Yeah. It's like itching. You just want to scratch your face off.
Yeah. Your
throat?
It's definitely kicking in, so that means that spring is kind of here. I mean, the weather's going to be crappy again.
They say there's like zero freaking pollen in the air, but there's something out there. It's been so windy. And if you're outside with your kids on these fields, it's blowing around like nuts.
Yeah. It's tough. It's not like the first time I spent a spring in Atlanta when I was down there at the Thrashers. Oh, my God, was that awful in late March.
Yeah.
I thought I was dying. I had to go to the doctor. I had no idea what was going on. And then they said something about the pollen count was like 3,000.
Jesus.
I understood then. Almost crushed me.
Lynn's in Methuen. Lynn.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Where you been?
I know.
I was just talking about you an hour ago.
You're the best. Oh, my God. This is the best time of year, right? The windows are open. So just a couple of points. Thanks, always. I'll be super quick. Tonight, I feel good about the series if they do the following. A nice, strong, clean start, please. The last few games was kind of tough to watch. Mm-hmm. I need the players to make good decisions with the puck. I don't need the fancy schmancy. Keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Stop the one man driving down through four opposing players. It's most likely not going to work. Because what was frustrating was how many times do we have possession and you're getting excited and kind of coming off the couch and we lose the puck and we don't even have a shot on net. So that needs to stop. Mm-hmm. Crash the net. Get in the goalie's head. Take the shot. How many times, I know you guys all did it, here's a player, whether it's Bergy, Marshy, take your pick, shoot the puck, no, we're going to pass it. Not going to happen. And lastly, I need the star players to be star players, and what's weird, I'm having deja vu, I think I probably said this last year, we need Tuukka and Krejci and Pasta and Marshy, we need our stars, Bergy. They have to show up and do their job, not to do the Pat's pun, but I picked the Bruins in seven. I went back and forth with six and seven, but I think we need to start. We need to set the tone, hit them, slow them down, and like I said, fingers crossed that everybody continues to get better and stays healthy. But, guys, I am excited. I picked the Bruins all the way, but I know you're not surprised. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.
See you, Lynn.
Love it. I mean, you know, she brings up valid points. They were working an awful lot.
You should use them tonight on your pregame.
What? Oh, her points.
No fancy schmancy.
Yeah.
Down the middle.
Yeah. Crash and bang.
Stars. Got to be stars.
Yeah. I'm in.
Keep it simple.
Lynn, I'll send you a portion of the game fee, which is nothing, but I'll send it to you. Yeah. There you go. Thank you very much. But what, I mean, they've been working in practice, especially Tuesday and Wednesday. Neutral zone, hugely important. Got to get the puck through. It has to become part of their DNA. It has to be the mandate that is followed by this team, that they get the puck. It's not dump and chase, but it's put it into areas, especially the right side D of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think you can work that area, that side a bit. Jake Gardner is a really good, you know, offensive instinctive player in left side D. Morgan Riley is their best defenseman. He plays the left side as well. He's a really good defenseman. Folks, keep your eye on him. Ron Haynes, he's a left shot that plays the right side. That is nice defense. Ron has put together a beautiful career, played his college hockey at UMass Lowell, some years ago, won a cup last year with Pitt. But then they got the guy Zaitsev, and they got Roman Polak. I think you can get after him on the right side, hammer away there. But the Bruins have got to initiate forecheck. They can't hope for it. They have to initiate it by puck placement. And then they got to kill off transition through the neutral zone.
Ed and Lynn says we all have to pump the brakes on the Bruins' excitement. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how's everybody doing? All right? I got to tell you, I thought Lynn's call was one of the better calls that you have taken in the past half hour or so that I've been listening.
Well, you haven't heard Lorraine yet.
No, not yet. Fellas, the reason I'm calling, again, the fans, the fan base. Let's give Bruce Cassidy some credit in that he's going to weigh in on each and every player on his roster and put the best players on the ice to get them a win tonight. To talk about, well, he's going to rest this guy for the next series, or he's looking ahead towards Tampa Bay or this team or that team, is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. This is the, and I'm sure you're going to agree, the toughest championship in all of sports to win is what? The Stanley Cup. And there's a reason for that. It's a battle of attrition. And there's no way on earth a smart coach like Cassidy is going to be looking ahead other than 7 o'clock tonight. Ryan Donato's played very well so far in the regular season, and the kid has tremendous upside. But let's leave it up to Cassidy to decide who's going to give him and this team the best chance to win tonight and moving forward from there. What do you think?
I'm with you. I'm with all that, and it's about you have to have a vision for the series in the sense, you know, you have your game plan. But all that gets altered when you get into game one and then the reality of the game happens. And that's what it is. And, you know, this is going to be very interesting. Mike Babcock likes to match up lines harder than Bruce Cassidy does. We'll see where Bruce goes with that. We'll see how well. I mean, they need, of course, this is an analysis. They need everybody to be going. But if Bergeron is going to be, if they're going to try and hard match that, then Krejci, DeBrusk, and Rick Nash need to be kicking some ass out there. That would be outstanding. And then in the third line, Noel Acciari, the opportunity along with Backes and Heinen. If they get an opportunity to match, let's say, Austin Matthews, he's going to have to, Noel Acciari's going to, you know, he's going to have to be ready for that. So is David Backes, but Backes has been through a lot of these battles before. I can't wait to see how it plays out. I mean, I love talking about it, but I usually like talking about it.
You get tired of talking about it.
Well, of course. I want the games.
You're spinning circles here.
Yeah.
Not you, but in general. I mean,
no, I am too.
This is why we need this game tonight.
Yeah. It's all right. Let's get after it. And you know what? I got to keep reminding myself. I thought 7-2. It's going to be a long series. So no matter what happens tonight, I don't think it's the end of the, either good or bad, the end of it.
One more call for Billy Jaffe. It's Tim in New Hampshire. Hey, Tim.
What's up, Zoe?
What's up?
The boys need to be playing a little physical tonight. We need to be getting the forecheck going. And, Zoe, you going to be watching the thrill ride in Rough and Rowdy tomorrow?
I should get it now. I think it's, what, $15.99 if you get it now as opposed to $19.99?
Price went up.
It already went up.
$19.99 tomorrow.
No, I'm not. You know what? I love it. I think it's great. Let me tell you, I got a problem with it, though.
What?
The later you get into the night, the stream craps out.
Really?
Hmm.
So what do you think it's from, the amount of users?
Too many users.
Yeah.
So tell me, did the increase in price mean there's increase in bandwidth? Portnoy?
Portnoy's got to get on that.
It's a question.
Get one of his tech boys.
I'm all about it. It's a great thing.
It's freaking
unreal. I mean, it's awesome.
Where are they having this one at? Last one was in West Virginia.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, God, Bill. You would love it. Just
what is it?
Backyard fights.
Oh, jeez.
You know, two
Charlotte.
Brothers. Two brothers.
This one's in Charlotte.
Oh, the Hick Hills of Charlotte. you're gonna find some pieces of work down there in the Carolinas. I think one guy's fighting a woman or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This big girl.
Yeah. No,
she's gonna beat the hell out of
it. It's great. I mean, everything about it is great, but I gotta be able to see it. Not only that, is if it was archived for more than like 24 hours.
Is it Bill
Burr? Like if you could watch it a couple of days later, I'd be all in
is
on
it. Is
it
Bill Burr doing one of the comments?
Yes, he is.
He
Bill
is.
Burr is taking part.
Yes. Gentlemen.
Yeah, hey, Billy.
Have a good call tonight, buddy.
All right.
See you, pal.
See you soon.
Enjoy.
Yes, all right.
Sir. Hey, smile. It's hockey time.
Okay.
All right.
Billy says everybody
be happy.
Billy Jaffe. We'll be watching you tonight, Billy. On Nesson 1. The Big Nessun, the Big Boy Channel.
Yes, the mothership.
Yeah, the mothership, relegating the Red Sox over to the Nessun Plus. Billy Jaffe, our thanks to him. Hardy has our headlines. We're back in 90 seconds.